So good to be here. Appreciate your pastor asking me, and appreciate God working everything out so we could be here. We were so afraid, we wasn't sure about the weather, if we was going to be able to make it. Somebody asked me how the roads were. I said, well, it was fine except for coming up 40 up through that gorge. My biggest fear was one of them trucks jackknifes, and we'd be just snowed in. Couldn't get out. But God always provides. And let me tell you this, I would have drove through any snowstorm to heard that lesson this morning, Lindsay. Blessed my heart. Sure did. It was worth the drive. If you would open your Bible this morning to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's read verses 27 through verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I pray that God might enable us from these verses, that we that are his people might receive comfort. Because the very first verse of this chapter says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. We that are his people live in a veil of tears. We live in a world of sorrow. We live in a world of sin. We live in a world where we're just pilgrims passing through. We're just strangers. This world doesn't know us. We're just strange people. And this world doesn't know our God. And we face trials, we face tribulations, we face a lot of different things. And what I want us to try to think upon today is this word wait. Waiting upon God. One of the hardest things for me to do is just wait. And if I know you, and you're just like me, the hardest thing for you to do is wait. And I think as we... the world we live in today, I think it's geared not to wait. If you use any computers at all, you use one, then for a while you say, boy, this thing's just so slow. I just can't wait. We want it yesterday. And we live in a society, we used to save money before we bought something. Now we don't. We don't have to wait. We just lay the plastic down and we just put it on a charge card or whatever. Why? We don't have to wait. We don't want to wait. We want it yesterday. But I know this. God teaches us to wait. And he has a reason for that. God has his time and he moves in his own time. As Lindsay said, trying to define what wait would mean, nothing more than faith. It takes faith to wait. And it's hard to describe or even try to define faith. If God gives you faith, you know it. Many times you feel like you don't have any faith. It's maybe just weak or maybe so small, but if you have faith, it's faith that God gave you. And if God gave you faith, He'll increase that faith, so you must wait upon Him. Wait. When things don't happen like we think they should, when things don't change when we think they should, we grow weary. We are prone to give up. Have you ever just been depressed and just downcast? You said, yeah, I just wouldn't admit it. I just would hate for anybody just to know how I feel. You may be there today. But let me tell you this. Those that are God's, He preserves, and they will persevere unto the end. And they will what? They'll wait. They'll wait. In verse 27, this could be speaking to those, the children of Israel, while they were in Babylon, for that 70 long years living in that ungodly, wicked country of Babylon. And God's speaking to them, and He said, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? This is what they were saying. My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. We always, unbelief always misjudges circumstances. They were saying, my way is hid from God. Does God not see where I'm at? Does God not consider what I'm going through and how long I've been going through it? And it's my judgment. And my judgment passed over from my God. My way is hid from my God. And they thought God had took no notice of them. They thought that God did not right the wrongs that were done them. They thought that God would not help them and would not hear them. They thought that God had forsaken them. It may seem as though God has forsaken you, but He said, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake. He has never forsaken His bride, and He never will. Now that is comfort. We all, and if you've never been discouraged, if you've never been downcast, if you've never been to the place where you felt like God had forgotten you, just wait. Just wait. Job cursed the very day he was born. Elijah, this man that went to glory without dying, this man who stood on Mount Carmel before all these false prophets, had all of them destroyed, prayed a few words, and God sent fire down from heaven. 24 hours later, after Jezebel said, I'm going to do to you just like you did to those prophets, he's sitting out under a juniper tree saying, I just wished I was dead. There's nobody believes God. There's nobody left but me. Does that not sound depressed? Does that not sound discouraged? How could an individual in 24 hours turn around like that? I know exactly how. He's human just like us. We can be up here one day and down here the next. Everything be fine Monday, and he can be all putting her plane all to hell on Tuesday. And we say, where's God at? He's where He's always been. He's on the throne. He's teaching us to wait. And we're just like Jacob and Israel here. Jacob, God never forsook Jacob. Never. And God never forsook Israel. Even when they were in Egypt, when they were in the wilderness, God never forsook them. And they said, my ways hid from God. My judgment has passed over from my God. We should never judge God's goodness, faithfulness, and wisdom by our circumstances. It's like you said, Lindsay, when things are going well, we say, oh, God must really love us. But what about when everything seems to turn bad? See how we misjudge God's goodness by our circumstances. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. It can be so cloudy, you can't see the sun. But if you get above the clouds, the sun's always shining. I'd never flew till just a couple months ago, and you know, everybody would tell me what it was like and try to describe it. Nobody can describe it till you've actually experienced it. And when you get above the clouds, everything's so peaceful and calm. It wouldn't matter if it was raining. It wouldn't matter if it was snowing. None of it doesn't matter. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. Listen, God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. We misinterpret circumstances, but he'll make it plain. Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Heard what? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching if he is understanding. When we're cast down and depressed, stop looking at our circumstances and look at God. God is everlasting. He's without beginning of days or end of life. It says he's the creator, and if he's the creator, he's the Lord over all things. He spoke everything we see into existence by his own word. He created it. He's Lord over it, not just of heaven, but also of earth. And everything that happens in this earth happens on time and on purpose, and all things are working together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Hast thou not heard? Hast thou not known? It's just like Lindsay said, if I could get it from here to in here. You say that you believe God, just wait. I say I believe God, just wait. You put in a situation, a circumstance, and it seems like it doesn't change. Maybe you're dealing with some job or a child, or it could be a lot of different things, and it just doesn't seem to work out or change when you think it should. Do I really believe God? Do I really trust him? He is the creator. He is in control. He's able to deliver his people out of all trouble in his own time. Not our time. He is wise. There is no searching of his understanding. You remember the story of Joseph. Joseph's brothers hated him, were jealous of him. If God hadn't intervened, they would have killed him. They threw him in a pit, and just so happened a bunch of people came by and they sold him into slavery. They took him down in Egypt. He lived in Egypt for a few years, and then he got promoted and was working in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife lied on him and got him thrown into prison. Stayed in prison for several years. Don't you think he thought, God's forgot about me? And when everything finally turned around and God brought him to the throne, Joseph told his brothers, he said, you meant it for evil, and God intended it for good, to save many a life. They might intend it for evil, but God intends it for good. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? And I will remind you again, God is creator. He's the everlasting God. He never grows weary, and he never faints. My God is not some God trying to do anything. He does exactly what he wants to do. They said, this young man said one time, said, God did his part and I did my part. And that preacher looked at him and said, what do you mean by that? He said, God did it all and I just got in the way. God does it all as he pleases, when he pleases, with whom he pleases. And God will teach us, listen to me, God will teach us. I didn't say he might teach us. He teaches us continually, every day, to wait upon him. We know, we've heard, we know, we've been taught this for years. We know it here, but what do we know it here? Verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. He does. He giveth grace, giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no strength, he increases strength. Someone said where it said he gives power to the faint, to those who are ready to faint, to just give up under affliction. Because, listen, because why would they want to give up? Why would they, that word faint, this is not what we think about faint when you just pass out and somebody has to revive you. No, they just grow discouraged. They faint because they have not immediate deliverance, or their prayers are not answered at once, or promises are not fulfilled as they expected. To such he gives fresh supplies of spiritual strength. He strengthens their faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The psalmist said, Psalms 27:13, I had fainted. I just would have given up unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen, we must believe to see, not see to believe. There's a big difference. We want to see something. This is human nature. We want to see something before we believe. You must believe to see. God is an invisible God. There's none of us that have ever seen God with natural sight. We believe. He said, I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I don't have to see circumstances change to know that God's goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How do you say I can't see it? I can't see it either, but I see it by faith. I believed. Verse 14, Psalms 27. What did he say? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. If you didn't hear me the first time, he said, I'm going to say it again. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's where it's at. We see God's grace, his power. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no strength, he increaseth strength. Not that they have no might at all, for it could not be properly said that their strength was increased. But their might and their power were so small that they even thought they had no faith at all. Have you ever asked the question, do I even believe at all? Do I have any faith? I know I'm supposed to have some, but it don't seem like I have none. You ever been there? To those he what? He increases their strength. You know what Paul said? He said this after God gave him a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. He said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Verse 30. Even the youth shall faint. You see all these young kids around you say, oh, there's strength in that youth. Even the youth shall faint. And to them that have, and even the young men shall utterly fall. Those who trust in their own strength will fail. It ain't saying, well, I've got to muster up my strength. I've got to make myself believe God. You'll fall. He that thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. It's not of our human strength. Our minds grow weary. the strongest believer of doubt. John the Baptist, a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, sitting in a prison cell. He knows he's just waiting his execution, and he sends his disciples and said, "You go ask Christ," Jesus said, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Christ? Or do we look for another?" Is that not doubt? This is the same man that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The strongest believer may doubt. Boy, it brings comfort to me. Gives me comfort to know that it's not resting on my shoulders. Our thoughts, our prayers, our achievements, everything that is done in our flesh will fail. All is vanity, vanity, vanity. Now we come to verse 31. I love to read, when I read through scriptures, they use the little word "but." But they. That word "they" is used 3 or 4 times in that one verse. Find out who the "they" are. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Grass cut down will grow when it's watered again. A brook that is ready to dry up, when the rain comes back, it'll flow once again. I've saw brooks down where we live, little small stream, and it can be flowing real big in the wintertime, but in the summertime, after so much heat and so much drought, it seems like it's dried up. The source is not dried up. When things change, the water will run again. You go by there in the summertime and say, "That little spring is gone." I'd say, just wait. You come back in a few months, that spring's still there. Wait. Wait. 3 things about this wait. What does this mean? It means to wait in dependence. He is a waiter upon God. He is totally dependent upon God for everything. That's waiting on God. I cannot make God do anything. I can't make God look my way. I am totally dependent upon God. You know why we live in a world like we do, and everything that goes on in religion, and they think we cannot wait on God because they think their God needs help. We wait upon God. We wait as a beggar for an alms. We're like blind Bartimaeus. Can you imagine how long he'd sit there waiting? Waiting on somebody to show him some benefit and some grace and some mercy. And one day he heard Jesus pass by. We must depend upon him for teaching. The Bible says we're all taught of God. He must teach us. We depend upon his grace. A person that waits upon God in dependency knows that his strength, all of his strength, comes from God. Those who preach the gospel wait upon God in dependency for God to do his work. Wait. Wait. Our Lord told the disciples, he said, "You tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." How long we got to wait? Till you be endued with power from on high. What are you doing? We're waiting. Well, ain't you doing something? Yeah, we're waiting. What are you waiting on? We're waiting on God. We're showing our what? Dependence upon God. Why? We're doing exactly what he told us to do. Kind of like this. I use my granddaughter a lot as illustrations. I do that for one thing because she's not here. She's about 7.5 years old. She lives with us now. She's totally dependent upon her grandpa for shelter, for food, for clothing, and for safety, and she loves to have it that way. It was kind of funny yesterday. We were getting ready to leave, and Sandy walks in the kitchen and gets the last banana. Emily walked in there and little sad eyes and said, "Did you just eat the last banana?" Little did you know, we had to go to town and come back by the house, and we had to bring some more bananas. You know why? She's dependent upon me. We are dependent upon God for everything. The clothes you have on your back, the breath you breathe, everything, you must depend upon God. That's what waiting is, dependent. It means also, it means our expectation is of God. How many's ever seen, especially in the spring of the year when birds begin to build their nest? You see the mother bird and she lays her eggs and she sits on them and then they begin to hatch. You see that little bird fly off and she'll go try to find a worm or an insect or something, and when she comes back, all you see is a bunch of little mouths just wide open. Them little birds are waiting on their mama in expectation for the food she's going to bring them. Oh, that God would teach us when we come into the house of God, we're just like them little birds, coming with our mouths open, expecting God to bring us something from the very throne of grace. Expecting, looking. Let us wait upon Him this way. The Old Testament believers looked with expectation for the coming Christ. They looked, they expect. David, it says that Abraham was looking for a city who hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And we as New Testament believers, looking with expectation, He's coming. He may not have come. He didn't come yesterday, but I expect Him to come today. You say, you really believe that? Don't you expect Him to come today? I expect Him to come today. If He don't come today, I'm still waiting tomorrow. Let me give you a good illustration of this. Everybody remember Simeon? Simeon was, in Luke chapter 2, he was ministering in the temple. And God had told Simeon, listen to me, that he could not die, would not die, till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And you know what it says in verse 25? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Don't you think he was expecting to see Him? He cannot die. That's a picture of all God's elect. They cannot die. They are immortal until God crosses their path. Can you not just see Simeon when Mary and Joseph brought Christ into the temple, and he says, "Oh my goodness, this is what I've been waiting for." Expecting. Waiting upon God also means to wait patiently. Boy, don't we grow impatient. You ever had to go sit in a doctor's office? Well, you lie because you know you've been there. What if you had to wait all day and then the nurse comes out and said, "I'm sorry, the doctor just can't see you tomorrow. You'll have to come by. You'll have to come back tomorrow." That wouldn't go over too well, would it? But let me tell you this. If you knew that He was the only one that could help you, you'd wait that day. And you'd wait the next day, patiently. It's like the disciples, our Lord turned and looked at the disciples one day. A bunch of people had been following Him. Now they turn and they just go away. And He says, "Will you leave Me also?" They said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We're looking to You." Psalms 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. When we wait patiently upon the Lord, we what? Rest. Rest. I know what it is to lay down and try to sleep at night and cannot rest. I've learned something. No matter how hard you try, you can't make yourself rest. I have somewhat of a sleeping disorder, and they wanted me to go on one of them CPAP machines. If any of y'all have dealt with that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That is the most aggravating thing I've dealt with in my life. The more I tried to use it, the worse it got. I tried to throw it in the floor, and I did. It was just awful. But I learned something in that. No matter how hard I tried, I could not make myself rest. Couldn't. You can make yourself stay up and lay down to sleep, but you can't rest. But rest. Have you ever just rested? Nothing doesn't matter. Nothing doesn't matter. To rest, you're not worried about nothing. Rest. God teach us to wait patiently upon God. If God wants me to stay right here, fine. If God wants to change it, fine. If God don't see fit to change it, well, fine. Everybody see what I'm talking about? Everybody understand? Wait patiently for the Lord. God's worth waiting for. What is the result of waiting? It says here, they shall renew their strength. Our strength is revived. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Job said in Job 17:9, the righteous also shall hold on his way, then he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. We wait, our spiritual strength is renewed. Our spiritual strength is renewed. Now watch this. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. Why did he describe us like an eagle? Well, first of all, if you'll go back and look, an eagle was considered an unclean thing. Well, that describes us perfectly to start with. It's an unclean animal. It and a raven and ostriches and all those were considered unclean animals. But you know also, the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured as an eagle. He took upon himself our sin, was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen to Deuteronomy 32:11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, Fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. What is that old eagle teaching those young eagles to do? When she flutters over that nest, those eagles are prone by nature to what? Just go to sleep. Just feel safety in the nest. She's teaching them how to use their wings. And you know how that eagle carries her little ones? Not in her talons, but on her wings. The only animal, only fowl bird that does that. You know why? To reach those little ones, you would have to destroy her. Is that not a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who bears us on his wings? To reach them, you must go through him. He cares for us. Lindsay used that scripture, and I didn't had forgot it was even there in the book of Luke, but it's also in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stoneth them which are sin of thee. How often would have I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. God protects us just like that eagle protects her little ones. Protects them, carries them. Mount up with wings of eagles. The eagle, they say, is the only bird that can fly and look directly into the sun. God enables us to look at God's sun. And that eagle can fly above the clouds, can fly above the storms. She'll renew their strength. Thou shalt mount up with wings of eagles. Their strength is renewed. Someone said, and I don't know, you can take it for what it's worth, they said an eagle never dies of old age. They die of hunger because their beak gets so calloused or something they can't eat, but they don't die of old age. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. I want to show you something. Renewing our strength. It's not age. You can be 17 or 70, and God renews the strength of his people. I want to show you this. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Talking about Caleb. Give you some history when God was going to send the children of Israel into Canaan. Before he sent them in, they sent out spies. They sent out 12 spies, one from each tribe, from the nation of Israel. Out of the 12 that came back, there's only two that said, we can take the land. Caleb and Joshua. And when the nation followed the advice of the 10, would not listen to Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua said, yes, we can go in and take the land. God will give us the land. And God shut the door. The next day they tried to go up on their own strength and they failed. And God allowed them, made them wander in the wilderness for 40 long years. But after the end of 40 years, God raises up Joshua, who's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take them into Canaan. And here we come now with Caleb. Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua into Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jehonaphat, the Kenianite, said unto him, thou knowest the things that the Lord has said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea, when God sent us first out. 40 years was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet hath trodden shall be mine and thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he hath said, these 45 years since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85 years old. It's been 45 years since I first went into Canaan. Verse 11. Now watch this. Everybody, I want you to see this. Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. You mean this man, he's 85 years old. He's 45 years older. But he said, I'm as strong as I was. I'm as strong today as I was then. Why? Somebody's renewed his strength. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now watch verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, you know who those people were? They were the giants. They were there, and that city was great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, saith the Lord. What's he saying? If God gives me the strength, I'm going to take what's mine. God promised it to him. And God kept him alive. And he said, I'm as strong now. These bodies, what am I saying? These bodies grow weary. Our hair's turning, hair turns gray. It turns loose. It falls out. We get wrinkled and tired. But I'm not talking about that strength. I'm talking about a strength of God's grace and God's mercy of when he gives you his spirit. You may grow discouraged and that body may have an effect upon you. But God renews that strength. He gives you the ability and the desire to do exactly what he's called you to do and kept you alive for. I am as strong this day. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. Psalms 103 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run in the ways of God's commandments, which they show great affection for God's commandments. They are haste to obey God's commandments with delight and pleasure. Paul the apostle said, we are troubled on every side, but not overwhelmed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Shall not faint in the ways of God, in the name of the Lord, or in Christ. They have received from him. They are leaning upon him. They are trusting in him, and they continue to do so. The grace of God in you never quits. If it was left to you and left to me, we would all fold up our tent and go back. We would all be just like the nation of Israel in the wilderness. We'd want to go back to Egypt. But what makes the difference? Christ in you, the hope of glory. God gives you strength when you have none. None. In closing, let us therefore learn to flee to the Lord, who after we have encountered many storms will at length conduct us into the harbor. For he who has opened up a path and has commanded us to advance in that course in which he hath placed us does not intend to assist us only for a single day and to forsake us in the middle of the course. He will bring us to our goal. He's never lost one. The Apostle Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Wait thou upon the Lord. May God bless you.